just when you thought there was no hope for baby boomers. It's the Rational Boomer Podcast. Logic. Common sense. Compassion. Yeah, who knew? Now, here's Mike.
We are back on the Rational Boomer Podcast. Hopefully your day is going well. It is Monday. This is going to be one motherfucking week. So I thought if I'm going to get into this week, I'm going to reach out to Old Soul and say, I need a hand here. I need a hand here because we got a lot to talk about. And fortunately, Old Soul always has plenty to say, and it's always something that is important to hear. And one of the other reasons I brought you on, I don't know if you heard an email that I think I read yesterday. And the emailer said, yeah, Mike, you do a decent show when it's just you, but when Old Soul's on, it's really good. So fuck him. But like they say, you always give the people what they want.
That's right. That was really sweet. So anytime someone says something nice in the email, I'm like, oh, that's just so sweet.
Yeah,
for me, it don't seem like a big deal, but to them, I guess it does. So that's good.
Well, sure. It's sweet to you. It's sticking me in the fucking eye. So I'm kidding. I don't. Anyway, the reason I'm glad you're on, Old, is that we do have a really big week. This is going to be interesting. First and foremost, we have Donald Trump's criminal trial. Opening arguments on Monday, today. And you mentioned to me just before we came on that Donald Trump took another shot at another motion.
Yeah, he did an emergency motion for to have the judge excused, and then also for a change of venue because he can't get a fair trial in New York. And what's so funny, Jimmy Kimmel did, I think it was Jimmy Kimmel, during his monologue, he showed clips of Trump complaining that he can't get a fair trial in New York, and like, all the people hate him, it's not unfair, blah, blah, blah. But then he turns around and he posts all these videos about how much New York loves him. They hate seeing this happen to him. You know, so you can't get a fair trial because nobody likes you, but everybody loves you in New York. Like, he's doing both of those, which is, it's weird, but.
Well, the interesting thing, the interesting thing is that asking to have the judge recuse himself and get a change of venue. This is like the third time he's asked that. I mean, this has got to be Old Soul. Like there had to be one guy in your life that would ask you out and you'd say no. And then he'd ask you out again. And you'd say no. And some fuckers can't get a clue. And apparently Donald Trump can't get a clue. He'll take any chance he can up until the day before opening arguments start. He's still trying to weasel out of it, and he's done nothing but fail up to this point.
Yeah, it's not that he can't take a hint. Like, it's not even a hint. They told him no the first two times that he did it. I don't know the strategy behind that. Well, I guess I do, because I'm thinking that he's so abusive towards his attorneys that they're just going to do whatever he tells them to do. So I think that's where it's coming from, but they know better.
Yeah.
Did you see him standing outside the courthouse with that stack of articles?
Yes. I've got documents from the New York Post that prove me innocent. I don't know why we're in this fucking trial. Yeah, it's absolutely brilliant.
He's such a toddler. Like, they have to, like, give him, like, that lady that's giving him those articles, she's making like $100,000 a year just to, like, show him how great people think he is.
Yeah, it's, and you know, that, and that's the problem. Every time he's trying to argue a point with some of his criminal issues, he'll pick out one point and he'll try to prove it wrong. Problem is, it isn't wrong. And secondly, even if he could prove it wrong, it's such a minor point, it really doesn't impact the case at all. He just focuses on one thing he can make an argument at, and he just keeps pounding on it, even though it would do him no good, even if he did make a point. And of course, he can't make a fucking point.
Yeah, he was, he did the same thing during the E. Jean Carroll trial when Michael Cohen took the stand, and then Trump got upset, like he lied and just kind of like stormed out of the courtroom. without giving it the full context. So he's saying, yes, I lied, but I lied because I was covering for Donald Trump.
Right.
And Trump took it as like, it's a lie. He's not credible. He's, you know, all that other kind of stuff. And then his supporters like, he's not credible. He's lying on a stand. But what did he say after that? Like, they completely leave that part off.
Right.
So
right.
That's what he's still doing.
He was going,
and he's desperate.
Yeah. Oh, he's desperate. I mean, he's never been at this point where he's actually accountable. This is the first criminal trial for a former president, first criminal trial for Donald Trump. You know, I had people come to my page and say, oh, yeah, you keep talking, but he's never been convicted of anything. And I said, well, he's never been in a criminal trial. This is his first one, and we have to get through the criminal trial to see if he's going to be convicted. And the fact of the matter is with 34 felony charges and the situation and the documentation that's there, there's no way he's not getting convicted. He's going to get convicted. And it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of how many times. And, you know, I went on and did a TikTok, and I was complaining about a question that keeps getting, people keep asking me, or they make these statements. And I've addressed it once, and I addressed it today a little more aggressively. People will say, yeah, he'll never get indicted. Then he gets indicted. He'll never go to trial. Now he's going to trial. He'll never get convicted. And by the way, it only takes one juror on the jury to get a hung jury, and then he's free. People don't quite understand what's going on here. And I've always said to them, look, do you honestly believe one of these dumb Trumplefucks that you've seen interviewed many times will somehow find a way to slip between multiple Harvard lawyers who are asking them all kinds of questions and checking all of their social media? You're telling me somehow a dumb Trumplefuck's going to slip in there and put a fly in the ointment? I find that fucking hard to believe.
No, and then I think what some people don't understand is there has been Trump supporters on the grand jury. There's been Trump supporters on actual juries, like the E. Jean Carroll. He said he got all his information from like Ted Poole or whatever. There's somebody on the like jury right now who was like saying all this positive things about Trump. So he has a group of his peers on there. I think that he just wants to cherry pick whoever it is that sits on the jury. And it doesn't work like that. He's so used to being accommodated. And I don't want to say having his butt kissed, but pretty much like that's what he's used to.
That's pretty much what it is.
Well, yeah. Well, even civilly, when he used to get into trouble civilly, he never had to like pay any fines for it. If he owed somebody $100, it's okay, you take 20 or you don't take nothing. Right. And the courts would allow him to do that. So both civilly and criminal, he's not used to this type of energy.
Well, I think this is where people don't understand. They think if they go to trial, and let's say a Trumplefuck gets on and hangs the jury. First of all, you have to have all jurors agree in a criminal case in order for the person to be convicted. You have one person, it will end up in a hung jury. But people think, well, if it's a hung jury, then Donald Trump just goes free. And that's not the case. If they've got a serious case and somebody might have been a little less than honest when they went on the jury and the jury is hung, all that's going to happen is the prosecution's going to step back and re-prosecute him, bring him back to court. It's not that he gets away just because there's a hung jury. One Trumplefuck doesn't save Donald Trump. Even if they hang the jury, they're still going to try him again. And they'll keep doing it until they get it done if they think they have a legit case.
Yeah. And I'm thinking too, like people don't understand that when you take them out of their bubbles in the ecosystem or ecosystem and you're giving them information, they tend to think more clearly. Like, I think it was the woman on a grand jury in Atlanta. She said she would like drive to the courthouse and she would have her Trump hat on and then she would take it off and go into court. And so it's like, if somebody like that can give a reason, like say, yes, we're a grand jury, indict him, give permission to the DA to indict him. If somebody like that can do it, I don't understand why people think that just because they're the way they are now, when you take them away from that environment, they could maybe see things a little bit more clearly. And I mean, the facts is the facts. That doesn't change.
Well, and here's what we know about Trumplefucks. They have weak minds. They're easily manipulated. They're easily swayed.
Yep.
Now, when they sit in this courtroom, they are going to be hearing things that they have never, ever heard because Fox News never reported on them. But they're going to hear it directly from witnesses and evidence that's documented. And then you throw in the fact that you may have a Trump humper in there, and you've got all these other jurors that are maybe more reasonable, not necessarily biased either way, but dealing with the letter of the law. There's a certain amount of peer pressure there, too. People don't want to be the dickhead that causes problems and makes these people stay longer. There's a lot of pressures of being in a jury. I was on a jury one time, nothing important, but you know, it comes down to, fuck, I want to get out of here. Or, you know, that, not saying that you couldn't get somebody to hang the jury. It certainly could happen, but not on 34 fucking charges. It's just not going to happen. It's just unreasonable. But I feel like people are so, somebody said this to me. They said people are so used to getting disappointed and Donald Trump getting away. They just assume it's going to happen. Well, it hasn't happened in a long while. The trend is a different way now. Donald Trump's not going to get off here. He's going to get convicted of criminal charges. And I think a lot of them, maybe not 34. Yeah. But maybe 10, 15, 20. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I think some people say hope for the best, but expect the worst. But to me, the way it looks like is like a bunch of people like walking around on eggshells type of, you know, like just afraid for the next shooter drop or the next thing to happen. I think a lot of them is just traumatized by Trump. I really do. And I think that some of the way that I was thinking, if I was on a jury and it was Joe Biden and I was going so hard for him, and then I hear all this evidence, it would kind of piss me off in a way. Like, okay, so they've been lying about X, Y, and Z, and it would probably make me want to convict him even more. Like, if you did this to me, you're doing this to a whole bunch of other people. So right. I think that could rub them the wrong way just hearing the facts, and it could piss some of them off too. I don't think having a bunch of Trump humpers on the jury is a good idea. But I do think the ones that are there, it could change them if they hear the truth. Possibly, I don't know. But I can't see 12 Trump humpers on a jury. If they hang it, they hang it, and we just got to do this all over again.
No, we know what's going to happen here, and a lot of people are just looking for things to worry about. Now, you said Donald Trump made a motion to change a venue and to recuse the judge, and it was a last minute. Hail Mary desperation. And I think now we know why he was a little freaked out on Sunday and put out this motion at the last minute, an emergency motion, because it was announced that the first witness for the prosecution will be David Pecker. I love his name.
Oh,
now David Pecker is the publisher of the National Enquirer, best buddies with Donald Trump. They work together to catch and kill stories. You know, they'd pay him off and David Pecker would buy the story and then not release it just to keep Donald Trump safe. Here's the interesting thing. David Pecker and Donald Trump are buddies. Yet the prosecution is using him as a witness. That tells me David Pecker turned over some information to get his ass clear. He's saving his own ass, and he's going to testify against Donald Trump, and he's going to have to do it truthfully. Otherwise, he's got perjury to be concerned about.
Yeah. I think Trump gets so, like, if I was a criminal, I wouldn't get comfortable enough to talk to other people about crimes. Like, that would be something I keep to myself, right? I think that he gets so comfortable with these people, he see their characters just as bad as his, that it's kind of like we're one and the same. We can talk about the dirty stuff that we do together.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Trump will do something evil and then keep it to himself. He's so much of like a narcissist, and he's so braggadocious that he has to just like tell somebody so somebody can know how great he is, how he gets away with things. So I do think that he talked way too much, and there's just too many people out there that knows inside information that they shouldn't know.
Oh, there's no question he talks too much. I mean, we've said it before, just let him talk and he'll implicate himself in another crime. I think at the same time, when he talks to these people, he sees himself so superior to everybody, and that he believes that these people feel lucky just to be around him and in his inner circle. I think he's going to go through a lot of holy fuck moments, because he's going to be surprised by people close to him, like David Pecker or Hope, whatever the fuck her name is. He's going to be surprised that they turned on him. And the information that's going to come out is going to be devastating for Donald Trump. I don't think he even realizes that. He's so delusional. He thinks he's going to win this thing. I think he really believes that. He doesn't want to do it because he doesn't want to go through the shit, but I think he thinks he's really going to believe it. But I think starting out today, if David Pecker is the first witness, it's going to get real up in here, as the kids used to say in the 90s.
Yeah, I don't know why they see him as like this big, strong alpha, like the guy who canceled his rally because he didn't want his hair to get wet. Like,
He canceled the rally in North Carolina because it was raining. And I got, you know, women are always upset about going in the rain with their hair because it'll ruin their hair. And I get that and all that stuff. But apparently Donald Trump has that same concern. I mean, who knows what the fuck that thing would do if it got wet? That could be real weird, real quick.
I mean, I guess the thought of an umbrella never crossed his mind. Maybe he's just too cool for an umbrella. And you know, when they build the stage, they can build stuff over to keep the water out. Yeah. I've seen like every president give a speech in bad weather, but you know, not Trump. He's just too vain for that.
Well, I would think you're in North Carolina.
I think maybe if he did, he should have went, and it was like a good breeze could have hit him and blew off some of that funk. It probably would have been good for him.
Well, you know, the thing is, he's in North Carolina. He could have probably called Tim Scott up from South Carolina. I'm sure Timmy would have been happy to hold the umbrella over him and, you know, run a fan just to keep the shit smell off of him.
I don't know how they do it.
It's going to be interesting with this first witness. I think every witness they're going to bring up is going to be devastating to Donald Trump. You know, everybody looks at this particular trial as the weakest of the four, and maybe it is, but it is still felony charges. It's still 34 charges. This is going to be devastating to Donald Trump. And the interesting thing about it is, while this trial is going on, if that wasn't enough pressure on Donald Trump, while this trial is going on, just across town, maybe not that far away, there's another hearing that's going to be going on that he can't go to, but it's pretty serious. And this is the hearing with Judge Engoron and Letitia James talking about this alleged bond that his buddy put up. And now we're finding out that it's not legitimate in any way. In fact, the bond, the way it was worded, said the bonds guy wasn't putting up any money, that he's just vouching for Donald, and Donald will put up the money. I'm sorry, Donnie doesn't have a good track record of paying his fucking bills.
Do you know how much of a, I don't even know the words to describe it, but someone who is willing to take a chance to finesse the state, the government, the courts, out of $175 million. Like, I don't even know the words to describe the type of person who has the nerve to do something like that. When my daughter was younger, like, I used to, they call them like floating checks, where it's like, it's Wednesday, my rent is due. Well, is my rent due on Wednesday? I don't get paid till Friday. What do I do? So I used to like go to the casino and like write a check for like $500, whatever I needed, knowing that by the time my paycheck hit on Friday, then that check will come in and clear. That's me like floating the check for like a couple hundred dollars.
Right.
And I was always checking my account. Like, did it come through yet? Did it come through yet? Because I didn't want it to bounce.
Right.
But it seems like he's not scared of that at all. No. Like, how do you do that if you don't worry about getting caught? You don't worry about getting called out about it? You don't worry about being punished for it? Well, I mean, I guess you don't have to worry about that stuff.
Well, it truly shows his desperation. Because I've had moments in my life where I was a little desperate, and I think we all have at one time or another, not to this extent, but I've dealt with people in business that are desperate, and they're a dangerous group of people to deal with if you allow them to take you in, because when you're desperate, you will do virtually anything, even if it's really risky, something you wouldn't do because you don't have a choice. You get desperate, you take a risk, and you hope against hope it's going to work out for you. And that's what Donald Trump was doing with this bond. He needed that $175 million bond. And people were all upset. Mm-hmm. People were all upset that they dropped the level of the bond, but it didn't make a difference because he couldn't get a hold of that either. I think in this hearing, with all that I've heard about the bond itself, how it was written, the guy who put it up, they're going to deny this as being a legitimate bond. And then that's going to, while he's on trial, they're going to say, your bond ain't shit. He had the 10 days to come up with the bond. He didn't do it. I'd be very disappointed if Engeron gave him another 10 days. But even if he did, he's not going to get it. I mean, he had to scrape the bottom of the barrel to get this fucking clown. It's not like he's got a better option if he's got 10 more days. So for all intents and purposes, Letitia James theoretically should be able to start fucking season shit and start selling shit. This is while he's stuck in his criminal trial. This is going to take this is a little more stress than you kiting $500 for 2 days. This is a big fucking deal. He's going to get convicted of crimes. And by the way, old soul, you're not the only one. I've done that too. We've all done that. If we were tight for money, you do what you got to do. It's not exactly legal, but fortunately it usually worked out. But this guy has got to have an immense amount of stress if he has the mental ability to comprehend really what's going on.
I don't know if it's like sank in yet. I think he's still looking at it as a way out. And part of that problem is he surrounds himself with enablers. He pays somebody $100,000 a year to print out articles and tell him how much people love him. Right. So I do think that he created his own little world around himself. And so it's kind of like people are penetrating that little bubble that he created for himself. And that's what's making him uncomfortable.
Well,
it hasn't hit him yet. He still thinks he can get away with it.
I don't think it has. The absolute nature of a narcissist is they're a bit delusional. I'm the greatest. I'm the strongest. Yeah. I'm the richest. I'm the most powerful. They actually believe this. I mean, they honestly believe that. And sometimes it's when you say you're in trouble, that's why Donald Trump tries to delay it, because he thinks if he delays it for a month or two, it'll all get worked out. Somebody will save him, or he'll say something ingenious and he'll get out of it just like he always has. This is where the chickens come home to roost, because all of a sudden, 77 years of experiencing this is going to come to a fucking end. Mm-hmm. And that is going to be devastating to this delusional mind.
Yeah, that could be the thing that makes him crack. Yeah. Because when you are that type of person where you're so controlling, the moment that you realize that you are not in control of any of this, that's the moment that they crack. And that's the moment where it's more dangerous. And I look at it as more dangerous for the people around them, for their partners and children and stuff. In this case, it's more dangerous for like a whole country and more, because a lot of people do depend on us.
Can you imagine?
I don't have any words.
Can you imagine walking out of the courtroom Monday afternoon, today, later in the afternoon, early evening, walking out after listening to your friend, David Pecker, give a lot of damning evidence, absolute evidence that you are guilty, that puts you that much closer to a conviction and ultimately jail. And then as you walk out the door, somebody comes up and says, oh, by the way, Letitia is starting to grab your shit and sell it because that bond was bullshit. Can you imagine what kind of day that's going to be for this motherfucker? It's crazy.
He's going to be passing gas like crazy.
Oh, yeah. This guy, Well, what do you think about that whole thing, you know, where he's fallen asleep? I personally think they've got him on some kind of medication because he's such, his attention deficit situation is so bad, they got to, otherwise he'll just get unhinged in court. He may still get unhinged in court, but what do you think? Do you think he's anesthetized or given some sedative?
I don't know, because it seems like he can turn it on and off. You know, like when he's in there and he's like slouching and sleeping and passing gas and all that stuff. But then the moment he steps out, he's like, go, 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 go. He's talking. He's in front of the cameras and he's like being pissed off in front of everyone. So I don't think they have him on anything, because if they did, he wouldn't be able to turn it off and on the way that he does.
Yeah.
So I'm not exactly sure what's going on with him.
Well, one of the things, one of the things that some of his aides have said, that while he was in office, they always had to structure, you know, meetings or whatever in such a way where he was always being handed something or moved to a different spot in order to keep him engaged. I mean, this ADD thing is a real thing, and he certainly has it. And we're thinking that he does take some Adderall, and Adderall's a stimulant, isn't it? Maybe they just took him off Adderall.
Not only that, but he has to have praise, and he's not having that right now. I don't know if you remember when Jared Kushner talked, or his son-in-law, right?
Right, Jared Kushner.
When he said the strategy to giving Trump briefings was like two compliments, and then you sneak in the bad news, and then you immediately follow it up by like two more compliments. So you can say something like, you know, the economy is doing good here, here, here. The stock market is great. You know, the unemployment is low. People are not really happy about that. But we raised this much money and da-da-da-da-da. Like, you have to sneak the bad news in between the good news in order for him to, like, not flip out. And that's Jared Kushner who said that.
Right. And, you know, I've said this before, too. There was probably a lot of things that people around him just didn't want to tell him. There was probably a lot of things he didn't know that were bad. I mean, he was just fully uninformed. And the way I explain that is, I can remember from my own childhood, you know, you'd have a dad that would go off unhinged and scream and yell and say horrible things, maybe get violent. And when you're a little kid, you will do anything to avoid that. And you know, as I grew up, I've kind of analyzed people. I can read people pretty well, mainly because I would do that with my dad when I was little. I'd see him going the wrong way, and I'd try to pull him back another way by making him laugh or patting him on the back or whatever. I learned that lesson very well. And the thing about it is that I think he was insulated by his people. Don't give him any bad news. We don't want daddy mad. And that's realistically what it is. These people have been abused too, and they just want to avoid any kind of flurry of insults or getting fired or anything. So they just didn't want to tell him anything. It's like a little kid waiting to be punished and just trying to put it off any way they possibly can. Donald Trump does it in court, and the people around it do it to Donald Trump because they don't want to fucking deal with it. But we've got a bad situation for him here now. He's going to get the bad news over and over again, and no one there to stop it. So the question is, how is he going to react to that?
Put tissues in his ears like any other toddler.
Or fall asleep.
Yeah. I would probably, and I'm being serious about this. I'm not even joking. If it was me, I would probably give him like Crayolas and some pictures to color while he's sitting there so he can like focus on something. I wouldn't have him just sitting there like trying to pay attention and trying to listen, because that's not going to work. I do think they need to give him something to occupy his time while he's sitting there, since, you know, they told him he couldn't text and tweet in there anymore. So he does need something to like hold his attention. If they don't do that, they're going to lose him. It's not going to go good. He's going to cuckoo.
Not only that, I don't know if you read this, but he took a couple phone calls while he was in fucking court, and he got admonished for that. He's experiencing some
things. Could you imagine?
Wow. My wife makes me turn off the phone at dinner, let alone being in fucking court. You should know better than that, and your lawyers should know better than that, but they're afraid to say anything. But so we've got the criminal trial starting. We've got opening arguments. We got David Pecker, his buddy, testifying against him. That's a fucking hell of a day. And then during that, while that's going on, we got to deal with the bond issue, and they're probably going to deny that bond, and he's fucked financially. And then on Tuesday, Judge Juan Marchand is going to have a hearing about him violating the gag order. And I have a feeling that I don't know what he's going to do. He probably will give him some small punishment this time. But now that they're in trial, if he does it again, it's going to come down hard on him. And it will most certainly happen again because of all this shit flying in his face that he doesn't want to hear. So Monday's fucked. Tuesday, he's got the criminal trial plus this hearing to start things off about the gag order. 2 days. That's a fucked up week. 2 days in.
Yeah. He shouldn't be surprised about people turning on him. He should be used to it by now. Look how many people has gone to prison behind him. But in addition to that, these are his people. Like, you've trained them to be ruthless, cutthroat, look out for yourself first. Don't worry about anyone else. So he's kind of like trained and conditioned them to be like that. So when they are doing that to him, to me, he should be expecting it. Like, he really should have that expectation. If I was Judge Marchand, what I would do is I would threaten him with jail time, but I would just be more subtle about it. Like, I would just say, at the end of court today, we're going to have the Secret Service take you to whatever jail that they have there. And they're going to make arrangements with the staff in case I have to send you to jail. You're going to be ready to go. So I would just make, you know, as soon as we leave court, y'all need to go work that out, and then you can go home. And I think that would probably be just as scary for him as actually going to jail. So I would threaten him with the jail time, but with actions instead of words, because he doesn't listen to anyone. So you kind of have to show him that, yeah, you can be put in jail. It can be done. And this is how it can be done. So keep breaking this gag order if you want to. That's what's going to happen. Me as a judge.
Yeah. Well, he may be scared. He may get scared of this situation. He may get scared of the situation, but you have to understand the mentality of these narcissists. Mm-hmm. You see it with Trump fucks all the time. They overturn Roe v. Wade. It's obviously bad for the narrative and for the election, but they don't pull back. Yeah. They won't admit they're wrong. Narcissist will never admit they're wrong. So he's more likely to double down just to prove his point than to say, oh, fuck, he said jail. Because remember, the judge already mentioned jail. The judge told him, you got to be here Monday. If you're not here Monday, a warrant goes out and they're going to put you in jail. So it was said to him, but I don't know that it really resonates with him because he's so fucking delusional.
Yeah, that's why you got to show him what's up. I mean, you have to follow through. If you tell your child, if you don't do this, then you don't get your tablet for a week, or I'm going to take this away for a week. But a day later, you're giving them back their tablet or whatever. They're not learning anything. So I do think they need to do follow through with Trump. Stop threatening him. Stop. Okay, this time is going to happen. This time is going to happen. Right. You really have to follow through, because with him, he is kind of like a child. That's the only way that he learns. You have to kind of have like an even hand and be consistent, and then also show them that you're willing to do what you said you're going to do. And I think right now he's testing him to see if he's going to let him get away with it. I don't even think that he should allow him to talk about the judge and the prosecutors. It's like, okay, you can't talk about these people, but you can talk about these people. You just say, no, you don't get to talk about anyone. It's a gag order. Don't talk about me, my daughter, the prosecutors, nobody. That's not part of your campaign. You don't need to be talking about it. I don't understand why they're giving him so much leeway with that. An average person cannot threaten and put a target on the back of the DA or a judge. No. So I don't understand why they're letting him do that. Like, well, okay, you can threaten me, that's okay, but don't threaten anybody else.
I've questioned that too, and some people say, well, he's the former president. I think more so, like Merrick Garland, some of these judges are concerned about public opinion. They're concerned about creating some uprising or outrage if they put him in jail, actually put him in jail. I think that's a bridge that may be too far in their minds. But the fact of the matter is if your goal is to shut him up, you've got to go to whatever extent it takes to shut him up. Now, and as far as making threats and all that stuff, he may be getting away with it outside the courtroom, but when he's in the courtroom, if he starts doing it then in front of the jury, that's when shit is going to fly. Because if you're going to do that shit, get up on the stand and do it under oath or shut the fuck up. And that's what he's going to have to deal with.
Yeah, but in the meantime, there's like people getting caught up in the crosshairs of these bullets that's flying back and forth.
Right.
You know, there's already one judge that was afraid for her safety after her family's like, hey, if we could identify you, other people might be able to as well. So it's kind of like you're allowing other people to be sacrificed for Trump. And that's not okay. And they really, really need to stop doing that. He does this kind of like, he pushed it right up to the line. Like, well, technically I didn't say it. I just posted it. I reposted it. Technically, I didn't do this or that. It's just kind of like when my daughter was younger, I used to tell her, drink your juice in the kitchen. So if she spills anything, it's the tile. And so I'm like, don't step on this carpet with that juice in your cup. And so she would literally like stand on the tile and like peek her head around so she can watch television while she's drinking her juice. She's like, technically, I didn't leave the kitchen, but I still get to watch my cartoons. And I think that's what he's doing. He's just, well, technically, like he's kind of like navigating in this gray area. And the reason he's allowed to do that is because they give him leeway. Just tell him you can't do this, period, or this will happen. Giving him leeway just gives him wiggle room to kind of abuse the system even more than what he's doing.
It reminds me when I was a little kid, my brother was a year younger than I was. I'll say it. I was kind of an asshole. I was a big brother. I pushed my younger brother around and you'd sit in the back of the car and, you know, my brother would say, he's touching me, Mom. And then there'd be a big argument. So then I'd be a smartass and I'd take my finger and put it about an inch away from his face. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. That's exactly what your daughter was doing, and my granddaughter does it too. I told you my granddaughter has occasion to have said the F word now and again. And Grandma is Junie's hero. She loves him. She loves me until Grandma gets there, and then I'm a distant second. But when one time she said the F word. And Grandma said, now listen, you know, she's a teacher. She explained to her, you don't do that. You could get in trouble. You don't do that. So the next time we go over to see her, Judy walks up to my wife like three times during the day we're there. She goes, Grandma, I'm not going to say fuck anymore. I'm not going to say fuck anymore. And my wife is going, well, she's trying to comply, but she's fucking with me here. But that's, you know, and that's what Donald Trump does, but he doesn't know any limits. Cause like you say, he hasn't been, made accountable. So that has to happen. If you truly want him to shut up, keep people safe and not taint the jury, you gotta do something. And I just sense Marchand is a pretty serious conservative judge. He isn't going to play this game very long. He's kind of showed us that already. He's laid back on the gag order, but it'll be interesting to see what he says on Tuesday when they have this little hearing. I have a feeling it's not going to be a nice little tea party. It's going to be a come to Jesus meeting for Donald Trump, and whether he accepts it and understands it and comprehends it and grasps it, we'll see. I doubt it.
Do you think that, I don't see how they wouldn't, but then I don't know how afraid of him they are. But I just wonder sometimes, do they let him know, like, your actions and your behavior, it really can rub people the wrong way, and it's not going to help you. Like, this person is in charge of how much time you're going to get. attacking the daughter is not a good idea. Like,
no.
I wonder if they like emphasize that to him so he will know that's not cool. Don't do that.
I don't think he'll learn that, though. You would think he would have learned that with Judge Engoron when he was tearing him apart and his family apart and all that stuff. And then he gets a decision of $454 million. I don't know. That's a red flag. Maybe I shouldn't have fucked with this guy, but he still does it anyway. You know, that's the other thing you have to consider about this trial. Donald Trump is going to be unhinged at some point during this trial. And there's some interesting interviews of the jury candidates that were dismissed. They interviewed them and they asked what they thought of Donald Trump. And they all kind of said the same thing. Well, he seems selfish. He's self-centered. He's kind of childish. He's kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing with narcissists. From a distance, they look good. I have friends of mine that think my dad was the greatest guy in the world. From a distance, they look good. But when you're next to them, it's a different situation. They don't typically have close friends, and family knows the worst of these people, because when you're close, you see the cracks, you see the darkness in the soul, you see the jerkiness and the childishness. Imagine this. You've got these 18 people, 12 jurists and 12 jury members and six alternates. They're going to be sitting in this courtroom, literally feet away from Donald Trump, 8 hours a day, 4 days a week for 2 months. By the time they get done with all Donald Trump's misbehaving, every one of those motherfuckers, even if they were a Trump-a-fuck, are going to hate that motherfucker.
Yeah, I think that them sitting there witnessing how vile of a person that he is up close, and then you add the facts of the case on top of that, I think they'll be like more than eager to like convict him. I honestly feel that way. Because if you were just like a jerk and the facts wasn't on your side, it's like, okay, well, he's just a jerk. But when you're a jerk and you have the facts and those facts work against you, he's just compounding the problem with his arrogance and his vileness. I guess that's a good word of calling him.
Well, you know, I think when the jury's finally sets off to deliberate, it may take a little while just by virtue of 34 charges they have to agree with or disagree with. But I think this deliberation is going to be much shorter than the defense would like and much shorter than many people think because of the nature of the case. It's all documents. It's in writing. It's hard not to say it's not true if it's there in writing and his signature is on it. I think it's going to go a little quicker than people think. I think the case may go quicker too. I mean, because the defense has claimed different people that have witnesses, but they typically put up way more witnesses than they actually do put up. And I even heard one person suggest they only had one witness. I don't know if that's true, but it wouldn't surprise me if they had one or two or three and that was it. Because what can they do? How can they argue these points if he's obviously guilty?
Well, in the E. Jean Carroll case, outside of his brats, there was only like, one or two witnesses that they had.
Yeah.
There's not too many people eager to go to bat for Donald Trump. Give up your freedom for him. Is his supporters, but the people, like you said, that's close to him and really know who he is, it's just like, no, he's not worth it. It's the same reason why you don't have like Elon Musk and all these billionaires paying that $175 for him, because they know they're going to lose it. And losing that kind of money behind Trump, it's just not worth it.
No,
do think that's part of it as well.
Well,
he should know that, though.
He doesn't know it. I mean, everybody around him knows it, but he'll never believe that. He'll never believe that. He won't believe that until he crashes. And then he'll make up some excuse why it happened and it was the deep state and all that bullshit. I tell you what, old soul, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
We're back on the Rational Boomer podcast. It is Monday, and we have Old Soul with us today. Normally, she's here on Thursday, but we got so much going on today. It's pretty intense in terms of Donald Trump. Now, this is pretty hilarious. This is, what would you call it? Serendipitous? Kismet? Something like that? When we take a break, you know, I go up and go to the bathroom, get some water. Old Soul does whatever she does. And Old Soul's daughter gave her something she got in the mail. What'd you get? Yeah. In our break, it wasn't this morning. It was in the break, 3-minute break that we take in the show. And what happened?
I got a jury summons. I'm just going to use, I'm going to use my phone to block my address, but yeah, that's my jury summons.
Wow. Wow. What are the odds of that? Now
I don't know. I'm hoping, they've been looking for like a grand jury for that fake electors thing. I'm like, if this is it, there's no way I'm serving. I can't be biased on a jury like that. There's no way.
Don't let them watch the Rational Boomer podcast or listen to it, because they'll discount you and disqualify you immediately. I was always kidding about that, too. If someone called me to a jury for Donald Trump, no way I'm getting on the jury. Just no way. I would love to be, but I would not get on the jury. So Old Soul was summoned at the break in the Rational Boomer podcast. That is, and this wasn't planned. We don't plan anything. So this is weird. Okay. Serendipitous, I guess. So if it is the fake electors, you think you'll be excluded from that?
Well, I'll be booted real quick. There was a lady, one of the juries that said she couldn't be partial. She said, I wouldn't believe a word Donald Trump said, even if his tongue was notarized. And I'm like, no wonder you were excused.
Yeah.
True, so, but yeah, that's crazy.
Wow, that's where you're going to have to keep us up to date with what happens there. I'm anxious to find out.
They gave you plenty of time. It isn't until May 13th, so.
Oh, okay. It could be the fake electors. It could be. I mean, it would be an interesting experience to be on a grand jury and dealing with that particular topic, but the defense is going to look at you and look into you just a little bit and they're going out now. No, we're not taking her. Well, I haven't gotten a summons, so I'll let you know if I do, but I doubt it. We were talking about Donald Trump's bad week. We talked about the criminal trial starting, his buddy David Pecker testifying. While that's going on, they're going to decide that the bond is bullshit and Donald Trump's going to lose a shitload of money. Then on Tuesday, they are going to have a hearing about Donald Trump violating the gag order. That's probably not going to be pleasant. And then right after that, they're going to start again with the criminal trial. Now, I know Monday and Tuesday, the criminal trial will end at 2 because of Passover. But, you know, we're still there at, what, 8 to 2? We're still talking about 8 hours or 6 hours in court anyway for Donald Trump on Monday and Tuesday. But there's one more thing happening this week. And Donald Trump may be looking at as pleasant, but I think ultimately it won't be. On the 25th, on Thursday, there's going to be oral arguments for Donald Trump's immunity claim in front of the Supreme Court of the United States. Yeah. This is going to be interesting. You know, it's funny, as time has gone on, people have come out on the internet, on TikTok and other places, and they will say, I don't know, that Supreme Court might ride the line and maybe give them some things that are immunity and other things that are not. there's no way they're going to give him immunity. That just can't work, because any immunity they give him, they give to Joe Biden, and this creates all kinds of a fucking mess. As much as they want to hear this and be involved, I don't understand how they can give Donald Trump any immunity on anything, because if they do that, it undermines the entire judicial system.
I think part of the reason why they're so pounding on top of that and repeating it is because they know for themselves that Joe Biden would never do anything like that. So they don't look at it as, if we give Donald Trump immunity, then that means Biden is immune and Biden can do whatever he wants to do. I don't think they look at it like that, because I don't think they see Biden as the type of person that'll do that. But at the same time, I think what they will do is they'll hear the oral arguments and then just like take as long as they can to put out their decision, to just kind of like buy him some more time in that case that he has in D.C.
Well, and people have to understand, too, while that immunity thing might have some impact in the documents case, in the D.C. case, and in the Georgia case, for that matter, it does not have any impact on the Manhattan District case. This all happened before he was president, so it's not an issue. And if there was an immunity thing, it would have to be given by the New York State Supreme Court, ultimately. So it doesn't affect the Manhattan District. Here's the other
thing. It doesn't affect Georgia either. Georgia has state charges.
True. I mean, ultimately, it could affect both, but it's going to make it hard. Here's another thought on as to why they took this up. Because we're seeing it happen. This was, I don't know, which situation was this for the immunity? Was it the D.C. one? But they're seeing Donald Trump also bringing it up in other cases. And they didn't want to have it keep coming to the Supreme Court. Maybe they want to give a final word, the last word. This is it. You don't have immunity. Don't keep coming back to us, because we're not going to hear it. That's somebody with a positive outlook. That's, and I'm not saying that's what's happening, but I'm trying to understand why they decided to even take it up. And it may be to finally put a nail in the coffin and get this done with, because it's so ridiculous. I'm hoping that's the case.
Yeah. You know what? I never thought about that, but it does make sense. I mean, it really does make sense. Instead of just, you know, having to say no, 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 you can just get everybody together and say no all at once, and everybody knows that the answer is no.
Right.
So I guess that does make sense, because once they make a ruling on it, then it's automatically going to shut down all of the other things that could have been coming. You know what I mean? So that does make sense. That does make sense.
Now,
I don't know if that's why they're doing it, but it makes sense.
Well, that's the point I was going to make. That's what I'd like to believe. But then we have to look at the Supreme Court and all those fucking crazy bastards on the Supreme Court, and you have to wonder, what are they really thinking? The fact that they put it out till April 25th, which is Thursday, and they could have answered it quicker than that. They've been in other situations. I mean, the whole abortion issue, they rushed that shit right through. But on this one, they wanted to give it 2 months' time, and then they'll wait another 2 months and finally give a decision. I think they have to give the decision by June, because they go out of session in June. So that's when it'll probably come, at the last minute of the last day that they're in session.
Yeah, I do see. I did see. I can't remember the name of the charge, but it was like some kind of like insurrection charge. And a lot of them with the more heavier sentences, that's what they were charged with. And right. So they just heard oral arguments about that, whether that's constitutional or not. And if it's not, a lot of these people could get out of prison. In addition to that, Trump can be charged on that.
Right.
And when the oral arguments, they were talking about like protesters, kind of like BLM type of protesters or whatever. So it's like, if we start charging people for this, then people are not going to be able to protest for civil rights, blah, blah, blah. And so I'm sitting there and I'm listening to it. And I'm like, the only reason you're making that argument is because you want to be able to overturn that decision. I don't know what they're going to do, but you could just tell by their questioning that that's what they're going to maybe use that as a scapegoat when it comes to that insurrection charge.
You would hope the Supreme Court is thinking ahead a little bit. I know that's out of character for Republicans, but they've got to see the writing on the wall that Donald Trump is going to lose with the overturning Roe v. Wade and all this stuff. He's going to lose, and the down ballot people, the House and the Senate, are going to have a tougher time because there is no money to support them, and they're wrapped up in this Roe v. Wade thing. If I'm the Supreme Court, I'm sitting here now 6 months up from the election thinking, well, if Biden wins, they get control of the House and they get control of the Senate, keep control of the Senate, they're coming after our shit, which is what they should be doing. You would hope they would have enough foresight to see what is potentially going to be a problem for them. Again, we got some crazy dumb motherfuckers on the Supreme Court, so I don't know. But that anybody with a reasonable intelligence would be thinking that.
Yeah, not only that, I was listening to Hillary Clinton, and she was like giving an interview a couple days ago. And one of the things that she said was, you know, people don't realize, and she was talking about people in position of power, like the courts, Congress, Fox News, OAN News, and all that stuff. What they don't realize is that when you're living under a dictatorship, you never know what mood they're going to wake up in the next day, who they're going to be mad at the next day, who they're going to take their anger out, who they're going to want to cancel the next day. So it's kind of like if you push so hard to get a dictator in office, don't be mad when you can't speak your mind or your news show gets canceled. Don't get mad when he fires or cancels a network or he does all of this crazy stuff. Or don't get mad when the Supreme Court doesn't make a decision that he likes, that he just throws a couple of more people on there so that he can get his way. Because when you think about it, like what she was saying, that's what they should be thinking about when they're making these choices. It's because if you get what you want, it's the same thing with Roe v. Wade. When you get what you want, you're not going to be happy. It's like you finally get what you want and you can't even enjoy it because you got a narcissistic lunatic as a dictator and he has no loyalty to anyone. Make a decision he don't like, you're gone. Say the wrong thing, you're gone. You know what I mean? So you give up your freedom when you do that. And when she was saying it, I'm like, well, she's saying it. They should realize that. But time and time again, they prove that they're willing to take a chance on Donald Trump being loyal.
I mean, you can't be that stupid. And frankly, if Donald Trump were president and if somehow, some way he was smart enough to create a dictatorship, there is really no use for a Supreme Court at that point. He doesn't have to wait for Supreme Court to make a decision. He'll make the decision. So basically you're cutting your own throat if you help Donald Trump get into power, which isn't going to happen. Don't get freaked out. It's not going to happen.
Who surprises me the most about that is Fox News. And the reason being is because once Trump started saying they were fake news, like during the pandemic, and especially after the election when they called Arizona for Biden, the way that he turned on them, the viewers turned on him, everything went down. Then all of a sudden you see OAN and Newsmax popping up because he was sending all of his supporters somewhere else. Right. So it's like, if he can do that then, when he was mad at you, imagine what he would do as a dictator and you do or say the wrong thing that he doesn't like. You know, something as simple as calling an election, they were fake news, they were in with the deep state. It was all this crazy stuff. I can't remember when that went away and he became buddy-buddy with them again, but at some point they kind of merged back together. But these other networks, they wouldn't have popped up if Trump wasn't telling his supporters not to watch them. It's pretty interesting that they saw that happen. Not only did they see it, they lived through it. They were worried about their ratings and everything. So you know what it is. So that's confusing to me. You already know what he's going to do. And you're like, all right, we'll let him do it again.
I think Fox News, particularly, I'd say OAN and Newsmax, but they're pretty much inconsequential. They're small. But Fox, I don't think they know what to fucking do. They've got a liberal on there talking about shit. They've got Republicans speaking against Donald Trump, for Donald Trump. They don't really know what to do. Common sense would say, all right, jump off that train because it's going over the cliff. But at the same time, they don't want to piss off Donald Trump to cost them viewers. I mean, that's a sad thing about all these Republican politicians and all this media. It's not about what's right. It's not about what's decent. It's about making money and keeping people's attention. And that's why Fox News can't commit one way or another. That's why politicians can't commit. You ask them hard questions, they just don't answer. It's as if they don't have an opinion to an obvious question. Do you believe in a national abortion ban? Motherfuckers won't answer that because they know it's a killer in the election, but they know it's going to piss off the evangelicals. They don't know whether to shit or bake a pie. They don't know what to do.
I think that they are more afraid than what they should be.
I agree.
You know, like they shouldn't be that afraid. Like right now what's going on in the House and Marjorie Taylor Greene and all of these other people, they're saying the moment that that spending bill gets passed, we are vacating that chair. It passed. The chair didn't get vacated. And it's just kind of like, you know, you hear about the rumors that a whole bunch of people are going to mass exit and quit. So when you hear stuff like that, it shows that when they want to, they can flex their muscles. Right. It's just that they choose not to. So if you know that you have this power to shut these people down and to shut Trump up, why don't you do it? And I think at the end of the day, it comes down to money and them wanting to just control and rule over everyone else. Like that's more important. And then to actually handle your business, because they could have been irrelevant. You're making them irrelevant at this point. You're making them relevant.
Right. Well, you know, when I see these Republicans now stepping back and saying, oh, I can't stomach this. This is too much for me. As far as I'm concerned, that's 7.5 years too fucking late. You rode that train long as you could. You grifted off of it. You gained power off of it. And now when it looks like it's coming to an end, now you're going to say, I never really believed that. Those people don't get a pass from me. As far as I'm concerned, if I had anything to say about it, their political career is fucking done.
Yeah. And I mean, they're on tape. How do you lie about something where we can see you on camera saying it? It's so weird. You did mention the abortion thing, and I don't know if you've seen the new talking point that they have. So Carrie Lake said it, and then I've heard like two other people saying it on those Sunday shows. And what they are saying now is, if you live in a state, Carrie Lake, she pissed me off with this. If you live in Arizona and you need an abortion, well, Nevada is right there. California is right there. You could just leave to another state. Some guy on the morning show, he said, if you need an abortion, big deal. It's only a couple $100 ticket on a Greyhound and you can go and do what you need to do. And it's just kind of like, what?
That's absolutely ridiculous.
I don't understand how that's the new talking point. But she said it. And then when I heard three other people say it, it's like, oh, here goes the new talking point for that. But what they're failing to see is that we all know that you're pushing for a national abortion ban. Yeah. So you can't sit here and say, oh, we can just hop and go to another state. And on top of that, they don't think about the women as people. Because like there's a woman who's like staying here right now who is hard for her to go through that with strangers. Like I try to be as comforting and stuff as possible, but I'm still not her sister. I'm still not her mom, you know?
Right.
Like you want those people with you. So you're just telling them to leave state and deal with something traumatic all on their own with no one, you know? Like how inhumane is that? And how is that a talking point? Oh, well, you could just flee to the state, go somewhere else. Sure. How is that a talking point? No one should have to leave their home for medical care when you can get it where you're at.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. And that's not what I don't understand is they overturned Roe v. Wade in 2022, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just now they're going, holy shit, maybe we better back off of that. Maybe we should pivot on. It took them 2 years to fucking figure that out. Because they refused to admit they were wrong, and they thought they could shove it down people's throats, and they thought women would forget about it, and it was all about demeaning women, the whole process, taking away rights and acting like they're stupid. And now they finally fucked around and found out, and they're going, holy shit, maybe we better do something. And that is insulting to women, I think. Yeah. I'm not a woman, but I know a couple.
It's insulting, but it's also very, it's cruel.
Yeah.
It's cruel to do that to a woman who, yeah, she had a miscarriage and she needs a DNC so that she could possibly have children in the future.
Yeah.
Why are you punishing her for, I mean, like, how is that an abortion? If you have a non-viable pregnancy, it's non-viable. There's nothing you can do. So why would you force someone to go through that when they can actually have children in the future, but you're risking that? I don't know. Like, they don't look at us as humans. Like, I guess we're just incubators to them.
Yeah.
It's a cruel thing to do. It's very cruel to do that to people. You know, I don't get it.
Several years ago, I made a statement. It wasn't even on TikTok. I was on Facebook or something. And I said that, you know, I was going on one of my rants and I said, evangelicals and the Christian nationals and the radical right are an enemy of this country. And I had a family member who was an evangelical, which I didn't know or care. And they confronted me with it. And they said, you said that evangelicals are the enemy of this country. And he was expecting an argument, or he was expecting me to be terrified and go, oh, no, I didn't mean that. I'm sorry. I said, yeah, that's exactly what I said. And I believe that. And I think as you and I sit here today, I've been validated on that. With evangelicals and the Christian right, they are the enemy of the core of this country.
Yeah, they are against America. They are against equality, rights for people that don't fit into their bubble.
Right.
To them, they're not like people. They're down here. We're up here. We have to tell them what to do. That's just so weird. Not only that, but they're hypocrites. I was telling the wild child, is what we're calling her now, but she was just saying, like, they're hypocrites. She was like, there's no way that these women are not, like, taking birth control and they only have, like, 2 or 3 children.
Right.
It's like, they're taking birth control because they don't want any more children, but they're trying to ban birth control, contraceptives. So her and I was talking about that. I was like, you know what? That's a good point, because if they were against birth control and they didn't take birth control, everybody would be like walking around with Partridge Families, right? Yeah. And then the first thing she was like, well, who's the Partridge Family? Who are those people? But I was just telling her, like, they would all be having a bunch of children. And she was like, oh, okay. She had no idea. Or I said, you don't know the Waltons either. And she's like, who? Like, she thought these were like families, but I just told her basically it's people who have a bunch of children. They're not using birth control or whatever, kind of like the Duggars. You know, she was just like, I'm just going to have babies until God tells my body not to. So you would see these people who don't believe in birth control with these huge families. I was kind of like proud of her that she thought about that and I didn't. Yeah. She was like, yeah, they have to be taking birth control because they only have like 2 or 3 kids. They don't have a bunch of kids. And I'm like, that is true. That is true. So them banning it, I think maybe they feel like they can get access to it. Like, they can get a mail order prescription and stuff like that. But the rest of us shouldn't have that. I think that's the mentality behind it. Let's ban it for them because we can get it if we need it. You know what I mean?
Right. Now, you talked about Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House. And I talked about it on the show. Somebody sent me a video and it was kind of a compelling video and it was interesting. And basically what he's suggesting is what you suggested, is that one of the reasons they haven't taken it to a vote as yet, as far as the to vacate Mike Johnson from Speaker of the House, is because, and he said it was a rumor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of who said that. If it's who I'm thinking said that, I'm going to discount it completely because they're, but the premise is that, you know, Mike Johnson is leveraging this thing, saying all these people will quit, and then Hakeem Jeffries will be the Speaker of the House. And then when Hakeem Jeffries is the Speaker of the House, then they can pass some bill to call what Donald Trump did is the insurrection, and he'll be taken off the ballot everywhere. Now, that's an interesting premise. I like that. But as I said in the podcast yesterday, I believe I said, I'm a big believer in Occam's razor. Whatever is the easiest is usually right. And I think what happened here was the Democrats really wanted to get this Ukraine thing done. It's been too fucking long, and it's getting close with Ukraine. They're getting be put in a bad situation. So they said, look, Mike, we'll save you if you put up the Ukraine bill. You don't have to do anything. Just put it up for a fucking vote. And he did. Yeah. And the Democrats can certainly save him. Not all of them. They don't need all of them to save him, because not all Republicans are going to vote against him. I think that's what happened. Now, that's not to say there isn't some people that are going to resign because they're just tired of the bullshit. And if they put him up for a vote of no confidence, they might say, fuck it, I'm gone. And then Hakeem Jeffries becomes the Speaker of the House. And it does put Donald Trump and the Republicans in a bad situation if that happens. So I think this is why Republicans are reticent to follow along with Marjorie Taylor Greene, other than she's a fucking mental case. I think they're just, you know, they're not willing to take a shot with 6 months left in the term.
Yeah, but the only thing, I think that's could be a deterrent. The only thing is with Marjorie and some of her other cohorts, they are not rational people.
No.
You know what I mean? So they could be thinking logically today, and they could, you know, have heard that rumor and all that stuff, and it could be enough to just like hold them off. However, they're unpredictable. They're unhinged. They fly and do things off of emotion and anger. There's no strategy there. They're just like in the moment making decisions for the future that they could possibly regret. So I do think that could maybe hold them off, but like just a little bit. Right. And I see like the pattern with Mike Johnson. What he does is he does something that he knows is going to piss them off, and then he goes on a break. You know what I mean? And I'm like, that's pissing me off. I don't know why they get to get away with that. If I'm working on a project at work and I'm like, okay, yeah, I completed my project. I'm gone for a week. I come back, do another project. I'll see you in a couple of weeks. That's not how it works. But I'm wondering if maybe he uses that to kind of like calm them down and like make them think about it for a week before they come back and do what it is that they're going to do. Well, that's what I'm thinking his strategy is.
I think this person was taking exception with me because I said that Mike Johnson is dumb. And they're trying to tell me that he's some mastermind and he's smarter than this and he's smarter than that. And I'll qualify when I say he's dumb. I don't know academically. He probably went to college. He's probably a smart guy, but his mind is a little twisted. And when it comes to politics, he's only been there a short while. And in terms of politics, he's a dumb motherfucker who happens to be the Speaker of the House. He's not qualified to be the Speaker of the House because he doesn't have the tenure to be the Speaker of the House. He doesn't have the savvy of a Kevin McCarthy and certainly not of Joe Biden. He's not a smart politician because he can't be, because he's been there for what, 2 years, maybe 3 years or four years. He hasn't been there long enough to know anything. And before he was Speaker of the House, he was nobody. Nobody ever fucking heard from him. He had never done anything. Mm-hmm. So I don't think he's sharp enough to pull off these grand strategies. And that's what frustrates me sometimes. Republicans come up with these wild ideas or the conspiracy theories, and you expect that out of them. But when the Democrats come to me and start spewing, what if this could be, maybe that, maybe this, and this is just a mastermind thing. I've been hearing that for 7.5 years, and none of it has fucking panned out. And I get disappointed when Democrats fall into that trap. Like, for example, they say, well, here's what Mike Johnson is going to do. January 3rd, he's going to refuse to give the oath of office to all the Democrats that won. They'll maintain Republican majority in the House. They'll pull the election into the House, and then they'll give it to Donald Trump. Are you fucking kidding me? First of all, on January 3rd, if the Democrats win the House, immediately Hakeem Jeffries becomes the Speaker of the House. So Mike Johnson doesn't really have any fucking say in the matter. And secondly, I read on the podcast, there was a law that says no Speaker of the House can refuse to give the oath of office to any duly elected official. The only thing they can do is try to get them out after they've been put in office. But people keep spewing this as if it's real. It's like, oh, they're going to get a Trump humper and get a hung jury in the criminal trial. People are desperate for some fatalistic event to happen to prove that, oh, the world sucks and everybody's kicking my ass. I get so tired of it. I get frustrated and disappointed by Democrats who do this.
Yeah, I think that people, they think that he's smart because his stature seems a little unassuming. You know what I mean? Yeah. But you don't have to be smart, intelligent, or have any type of experience or morality to be a leader in a Republican Party. So saying that he's smart, that's not a good talking point, because they don't expect for the people they put in these positions to be smart in the first place. They just expect these people to go along with the get along. But I think with Mike Johnson, what happens with him is he works off of like conviction, something that he really believes in. Like, he really does believe that women should not be allowed to control their own bodies. He right. really believes that we shouldn't have gay rights. Like, all of this stuff, he really does believe that. And I think that's the difference between him and them. Like, he believes it, they don't. So he will go against them because it's all like, I have the conviction of God behind me and this is what he's telling me to do. So I think he has that, and that's what pushes him to go against them. It's not strategic, it's not smart. It's just that he believes the bull crap that he's spewing. That's all. Yeah. So, like, if you really believe in something, it's going to be pretty hard for somebody to tell you not to believe in that.
Right.
And I think that's what pushes him a lot of times when it comes to MAGA. Not intelligence, just his beliefs, weird, crazy belief system. I think that's what it is that pushes him. I don't think it's like chest or anything.
Well, you know, and if people think that there are master criminals, master minds on the Republican side, I want you to think back over the last 7 years as we've, and I'm talking specifically about the House. The Senate's a much different situation. But in the mm-hmm. House, the 7.5 years we've watched all these people put on hearings that are ridiculous, no evidence, no witnesses, all the things we've seen in the House of Representatives from the Republicans. From my point of view, I can count on one hand how many Republicans look like they have average or a little above intelligence, because the mm-hmm. shit they do is just stupid.
Yeah, I think it's more emotional and more performance than anything.
Absolutely.
So because they haven't been in politics, they don't really understand it. And because they haven't had to go through that learning process that most politicians go through, I don't think that they get that.
No.
I really don't think they understand it. I really don't. For them, being a politician or being in Congress is going around giving speeches, traveling, holding hearings just to perform and let everybody know that you're woke and you're working. It's kind of like giving a perception that they're doing their jobs when they're not. Right. And I think that in their minds, they think that's what politics are. Oh, yeah, because when they were in a minority, they saw Democrats holding hearings about Big Pharma. You know, what's his name? Zuckerberg. He had to go and sit in front of Congress. And they saw Democrats having all these hearings and doing all of these things. And it's like, oh, I want to do that. And so now they're doing it, except for there's no substance in what they're doing. They don't realize the difference between Democrats holding hearings and them holding hearings. It's different, but they saw that and they thought that's what politics is about. That's power. That's control. We're going to do that. Right. It has nothing to do with anything else except for performing for their little fans. That's
right.
It.
Right. Exactly. Now, as we're coming close to the end, we've got 10, 12, 15 minutes, maybe at most, depending on what's going on here. I know there was one subject you wanted to talk about, and, we had a situation during Donald Trump's criminal trial, the jury selection. It was a lunch break, and we had the guy that lit himself on fire. You had a take on that, and I was interested to hear what you were thinking about that.
Yeah, for me, I think people on the left, they really do need to realize that we can get radicalized as well. I think that they look at it as like being radicalized and, you know, all these crazy conspiracy theories. That's a Republican thing. That's a QAnon thing. That's them over there. It doesn't happen to us. But it does, because when you have people who are already mentally unstable and you're constantly pumping in doom and gloom into these people, everything is breaking news. Oh my God, this, oh my God, that. It's so performative. Everybody's looking for ratings. In the meantime, there's other people who really do feed into that and believe that. And that's like a perfect example when somebody is willing to set themselves on fire. And this wasn't a little fire. It was like huge. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's just like that constant doom and gloom scrolling that we all do on our phones and stuff. So when people say, well, we need to keep them scared so that they will vote, that's not the answer, because you'll have more and more people who end up like that when they feel hopeless. There's no way out. It's, everything's coming to an end. Oh my God, Trump could do this or he could do that. What's going to happen to me and my family and other people? And so it affects people. So I don't think that we should be scaring people to vote at all. And I think that person was a prime example of that. What can happen if you're scaring people and you're pushing them to the edge? Like, how do you get to that point? You know what I mean? And that's a conversation that we're not having. I almost feel like if that was a Trump supporter, all of like the left social medias and all of like the MSNBCs, it would have been a huge deal, because look at this crazy Trump supporter. This is what they do. They're all in a cult. They're all radicalized. But because it wasn't a Trump supporter that did it, it's crickets. It's like a man, he set himself on fire, and that's it. The next time I heard about that is when they said he had passed away.
Well, and the thing about it is I heard some media and some people online saying, oh, a Trump pumper did it. They just assumed it and they started talking about it. But when we find, what we find out is we know he was registered as a Democrat, but the issue wasn't about partisanship. The issue was he didn't trust anybody, left or right. I mean, he even said that Trump and Biden are working together for an economic catastrophe in this country. And, you know, it sounds like the stuff he was talking about sounds like the stuff you hear online by crazy fucks like, what's his name? The guy that got sued. Ah, fuck, what's his name?
That list is so long, it could be anybody.
Well, the angry guy that had the show on the internet, and he got sued, and now they're selling off all of his shit. God, why can't I think of his? You know who I'm talking about.
The one who said Sandy Hook was false flag. Alex Jones.
Alex Jones. They're listening to somebody like Alex Jones blatantly lie to them, and they take it as if it's real. Now, this guy, people will say, well, why did he go to Trump's trial to do this? Well, again, it goes back to what you said. Everybody's looking for fucking ratings or attention, and there is no place in the country that had more attention than Donald Trump's trial. So he wanted that attention. Right. He wanted that exposure, so that's why he went there. So to suggest it was a Trump humper was irresponsible, but a lot of people did it. And, but I think you make a good point, and it kind of validates. I've never been able to put it that way, but now I will, because it makes sense. When people come with this gloom and doom to me and saying, well, that worked, but now this is going to happen. I think it's true that, our media and just the internet in general spend all day, every day pushing fear and Armageddon. And there is a certain faction of people that will hear it and buy into it. And when you do that, like you say, with people of, you know, diminished mental capacity or mental illness, they're going to react badly. It's just going to fucking happen. Yeah. So that's why I get so frustrated when somebody comes to me. I go, why are you doing this to yourself? It's fucking stupid. Yeah. And you're no help to our cause. They frustrate me.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are like, they're already pushed pretty far, especially like we never had a break in between Trump and Biden. It's like it's this constant chaos. And I think people are profiting off of it. They can sensationalize a lot of this stuff. Even, and that's on the right and on the left. They make it seem like it's so bad. that you push people to the edge. And when they're there, you never know how they're going to react. You know, like you may see someone who is looking and thinking, oh, Trump is ahead in the polls. He's going to get in. If he gets in, you know, I'm not going to let my family live or something crazy. So you never, like, it's better to be dead than living under Trump. So you get people like comfortable with saying that. And sometimes it can be true. So we do have to be responsible with like our language and how we talk about things and keep in consideration the vulnerable people, or the people who would believe it. And that's for the right and the left. It's not just one side on that.
You know, I've talked to people that I always thought were reasonably intelligent, and but it turns out they're lazy. I've had people say to me, well, I think Donald Trump's definitely winning in November, and then the world's going to, or the country's going to go to shit. And I always ask them, based on what? What fact or data point tells you that he's going to win and all this Armageddon is going to happen? I don't know. I just, you know, everything I see on TV, I feel that way. Well, that's irresponsible. Because now you're taking this back to your family and your friends, and you're spewing this as if it's real, and it's not real. It's not even accurate. And that's what's frustrating when people do it to themselves as opposed to what the media is already doing. They're just falling into the bullshit and repeating it. And that's part of the reason why I wanted to do the TikTok thing and the podcast thing. If I give them real facts and real things to have hope for, maybe I could push that narrative against the bullshit narratives that's flooding us every day.
I think that some of the people, they seek it out.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they look for that. You know, if Midas Touch, like, they post all the time. You know what I mean? So if they're putting out 15, 20 videos a day, you don't have to like watch every single one of those videos. You don't have to like engross yourself in every single one of those videos. I've seen like content creators, they say when they post like just regular facts, they don't get as many views as they do with their like Trump on the thumbnails and all that stuff. So a lot of people, they do seek out the negativity, like they're looking for it. And then once they get it and they're feeling it, now they don't know what to do with it. I do think there's some healthy ways to do it, like not watching the news on the weekends or limiting yourself to one news hour a day, whatever it is that you have to do, but don't go looking for it. Because sooner or later in your mind, whether you intend to do it or not, you could plant so much negativity in there where you don't see a way out.
We had a period of time in this country where reality shows were huge. Everybody watched reality shows, and then they went by the wayside, and what replaced it was political news, because it's basically on that same level. And I look at what people talk about and what they say, and I always think of bars, barber shops, hairdressers, where everybody gets together and passes around a bunch of gossip. Facts aren't an issue. I heard this, or I saw this, or my uncle saw this, or my cousin's brother's sister saw this. And this stuff just builds momentum. And then eventually, you know, it's like everything we hear about how the Republicans are doing well. I try to tell people, this is coming from the Republicans. They put it into the ether. It bounces around until you hear it from somebody that you give more credibility. And then it's as if it's true. And it's just fucking noise. And it's just lies. And it's bullshit. But people continue to believe it because they want to believe the sensational, the salacious, or the sexy. And that's the problem. Mm-hmm. People aren't willing to dig down deep enough to really find the truth. I hear something like that, and I go, that can't be fucking real. So I look into it. You do the same thing. But most people don't do that.
Yeah, I think that's part of the reason why we need a way to separate, or a way of informing the public. This is opinion shows or opinion pieces, and this is journalism. I think that it has to be some kind of way to where you can inform people that what you're watching, this isn't factual, it, just like a disclaimer or something to separate it. But when you have like Fox News sitting there with their, it's an opinion show, but they have like the news banner and everything, given the appearance that this is like real journalism and it's not news. And you know what I mean? And then they get to go to court and say, why would anybody think that was news? Right. Who's going to believe that? That's insane. So I do think there should be something where we can separate it so people know what they're watching.
Well,
and
we
they're
had,
not into it.
We had something at one point, and you're too young to remember. We had something called the Fairness Doctrine. You know, when everybody would say, oh, you got to give us equal time and all this other stuff. There were guardrails with regards to news media and such. But I think it was Ronald Reagan who took that fucker down. And ever since then, you know, it's been nothing but tabloid publications, tabloid media. You know, you might as well have David Pecker and Murdoch running all of media and just shoving bullshit down our necks, because that's all it is, largely. I mean, even the left side media, while they're better than the right side media, they still slant things and they still don't report certain things because it wouldn't be productive for what they want in getting views. That fairness doctrine, when that was taken away, I don't think a lot of people realized how damaging it is. But we are now a country of misinformed people, and it's working against us now.
Yeah, we really need to bring that back.
Yeah,
because we can see what happens when you allow people to spin and you don't hold them accountable for the things that they say. And I think that's another disservice, too. It's like, it's next to impossible to try to sue these people. You know, like, they just get to do it and get away with it. That right there shouldn't be allowed. And then we have to, like, for me, I use ground news because that keeps me kind of grounded to what I'm paying attention to. But it's a service that I have to pay for.
Right.
So
right.
to get, like, accurate journalism and then to have it pointed out where this is how the right's reporting it, this is how the left's reporting it, and then kind of like right in the middle is where they give you that like factual information. And then a lot of times it is like skewed over here. It's some stories that they talk about over here, these people have no idea about that, and vice versa. But why should we have to pay for that?
Right.
People
exactly.
should be allowed to get accurate information from the news.
Right.
You shouldn't have to charge people to get actual facts and see both sides of it.
Well,
and some of the stories or some of the things I see, I actually get it from ground news because the right's talking about it. And when I look, we're not seeing it at all over here.
Right. Exactly. I mean, if you went online and you bought a product and when you got it, it was nothing like what you paid for. It was cheaper. It didn't work. It was ugly. Whatever it is, you got it. Everybody would be screaming false advertising. And what's happening in the media is tantamount to false advertising.
Mm-hmm. But they're not held accountable for it, though.
No,
they just do it over and over and over again. I thought that maybe after the Dominion lawsuit, it might be a change. And then it was like a slight change. And then they went right back to their same old habits and talking points. Even when I saw that Murdoch's son was like in charge now or whatever, I'm like, oh, they just did that for paperwork. We
right.
still know who's behind the scenes calling the shots.
Right, exactly.
This is obvious as day. They need to protect the mental health of the public, and they're neglecting us on that. When you have people pushed so far to the edge that they're willing to just like set themselves on fire. Or when you have people who are sitting alone without their family and their friends because they bought into this crap over here. Nobody should have to go through that.
No, absolutely not. Well, old soul, we're going to wrap things up for the Rational Boomer podcast. I appreciate you coming in on a Monday. It's a day you're not normally on, but you're always welcome no matter what. People love you, and they kind of like me. So it's a nice pairing.
And I did it on two glasses of wine.
There you go. There will be a drug test after this podcast, so hopefully we'll keep our fingers crossed that you pass. Otherwise, we'll have to put a disclaimer and it'll be fucked up. And I don't know. anyway, old soul, thank you very much for coming on the show in short notice. And you always add some valuable information and insight. So thank you very much.
It's always fun. Thank you.
All right. For those of you folks that took the time to listen today, thank you very much. I hope you have a great day. It's going to be an interesting Monday. And we will talk to you again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Rational Boomer Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. We'll see you next time.